Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Ooh, ooh, doing the doggy style.
Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yo, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
And I think we're back at the 8 o'clock slot.
There we are.
Ah, another confusing and mesmerizing week in Somaland. If you've got low disk space, you must be on my computer. So, welcome to Naked Soma Riff on This for July 11th, 2007. We are... I don't want to say we're fully ensconced here at Soma Space, but we have an update on the website. Why don't you go over that, Val?
Sure. Well, you'll have to head over to our new and improved website at a different address now. It's www.somaspace.org, and we're still working on it, but we have quite a bit up there for you guys to take a look at, including one photo of the new office space, so you can see the comfy couch that your hiney could be on while we're doing our...
profiling parties, come on, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have profiling parties and some other festivities at the office. And my festivity today at the office was to take a nap on the couch.
Yeah, you waited for UPS and entered altered states like every eco should.
It was
no
wonderful.
Big deal there.
Oh, it was so good. I needed that.
It's a vacation you can't plan.
No.
Oh, boy. So here we are in the middle of XL week, and, you know, it's been gas hot here in New York, and, of course, the West Coast has been fried. But the sort of the emotional undertow this week has been sort of impersonal and sort of the screw-you variety. Why don't you make a paper trail of your cable escapades since that's fresh on your mind?
God.
We had a couple here in the office, but... You had a unique one where you are.
Yeah. So I call Cablevision up, and I give them the 18th as the shutoff date since we'll be moving out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I have no cable, none, about 4:30 in the afternoon, history. So I call them up, and they say, no, there's no outages. Now, mind you, I have cable TV, I have cable telephone, and I have cable Internet. So right now I'm talking to you guys on my cell phone, burning up the minutes, and my trusty Sprint card in the PC so I could get online. So back and forth on the phone with Cablevision, I spoke to people who, and I have nothing against foreigners, but if your accent is too thick to speak on the phone, you shouldn't be in customer service. So anyone out there listening who's in customer service, please check your accent at the door. Okay? So I'm on the phone with these people. They have no idea what I'm talking about. I have no idea what they're saying back to me. It was really beautiful. I spoke to, about 5-6 different people. Finally, today, in the afternoon, I spoke to someone who was somewhat of a supervisor. And when I told him what I went through, he went, ugh. So, you know, it was beautiful. And
you actually made that sound? Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
He doesn't think, my theory is that they shut me off early.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't think that they did, but it's possible. He said there's definitely something wrong. If I look at my cable modem, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously something going on. And they couldn't get anyone here until Friday, and this was yesterday that I was calling them, because otherwise I have to have these appointments that are, quote, all-day appointments, unquote,
mm-hmm.
and my hiney has to go to work. So I can't be sitting at home all day.
There's sort of a kind of a functional illiteracy when it comes to the culture with one of them, cable, phone, they're all the same, that they tend to think that in their self-importance that not only can they provide lousy service and horrible customer relations, but they can also tie up your entire day waiting around for them. Boy, I don't know. And the funny part is that when you call them, they're never around on a weekend. They're not around after 5 o'clock when everyone's home from work. And they make these crazy all-day appointments as if that's more efficient. Because they've got, you know, and I found this out the hard way with Verizon a couple weeks ago. Well, I got two guys doing Verizon repairs all over New Rochelle here. It's a big city, you know, not a small town.
Wow.
On the one hand, it says, well, we're so good, we only need two repairmen. On the other hand, if they have five jobs, they don't get to you in a given day because these guys are, I don't want to say they're slow, let's just call them deliberate. And they're not really interested in getting their work done in the time that it's allotted because there's no incentive. They just come back the next day. It's almost like UPS when they hang the little sign. You know, and if they do it a couple times, you got to go like the drive to some UPS depot to pick up your stuff. I just don't understand why you can make your appointment with a doctor, you can make an appointment with an attorney, you can make an appointment with, you know, anyone that has an office. For some reason, when cable makes an appointment with you, they use like a sundial. They don't use, like,
yeah.
We'll be there Thursday. We don't know when. Why don't you know when?
That's right.
It always bothers me. But, you know, and then we had a little issue here with our, we're still trying to resolve with our cable package here in the office with the, trying to get the movies in here, which is another lie on top of a lie. Because when they installed it, we had all the movies in the world. And then they said, oh, you're a business account. Whoop, no movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because HBO is worried about paying some third-bit actor that's going to show, you know, some movie at 3 o'clock in the morning and we're going to charge admission to. I mean, what a, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
only an exo week and all that pile up on you. So.
All I have to say to all of them is this here. Let's see if I can get it to work.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Well, we haven't had too many calls the last couple of weeks, and we would love to hear you guys get on the line here and riff with us here. So the number is 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847 up here at the Blog Talk Radio Power Station. I don't know if we're going to have a visit from our flying Philo tonight. I don't know what he's up to. I haven't seen any emails. I haven't seen hiding a hair of him since the holiday. So we're not sure if the Jepster will be joining us tonight. But he always seems to kind of lock in between 8:30 and 9 at some point. So we'll just wait for that. But I want to turn your attention to the blog post this week because it was a little different flavor. You know, a lot of times when you're learning this work, what the heck was that?
That was
hot and humid from New Hampshire.
Hey,
what did I do?
Okay.
I did it again.
That's great.
Ooh, wow.
The minute
we just
took,
did you just give me the Bruce Lipton?
Yep.
The Bruce Lipton call.
No, we tried the anti Bruce Lipton. We said, we don't know if he's come by. We haven't heard anything. So you know, if he's lucky, we'll hear something from his 8:39. We don't know if it's a swamp back game or what. You know. So,
and there you are.
There you are.
Yeah.
So we were just taking the 5 minutes to rip on cable and stuff.
Yeah, you
okay.
Didn't.
They're busting our chops on both ends this week, so we just figured that this is XO week. We might as well take on bureaucracy and just kind of give it a little kick of the nods.
Right.
So anyway, we're just reciting the number here again, 646-478-4847. We want to hear what you think about XO Genius. And as I was just getting to on the blog this week, when you first get used to this little language we have here, a lot of things stick and a lot of things fall off the mental plate, so to speak. And we always seem to talk about the low coherence aspects of some of these domains. It makes them more obvious, you know, because you usually see a primary domain behavior when someone is in transition or they're under a lot of stress, and they're going to revert back to that kind of their biological route to defend themselves and preserve themselves. So with the exos, you know, we're talking about a high coherence pattern this week. And just getting a little IM back and forth. And what I wanted to get to was, you know, is that the difference, the big distinction between who's an onto and who's an exo in terms of their primary domain is ontos are run by their belief system, and they're passionate about their beliefs. They can defend their beliefs even when they're wrong. They're adamant. They're insistent. They're very extremely solid about their belief system because that, to them, is what reality consists of. Anything outside of that belief system is either non-existent or completely wrong, and they'll tell you. Exos are run by a value system, and that value system goes by data, independent data. They don't have an interior. They have a map of the world that's actual size. It's like a Stephen Wright joke, you know. So their genius or their capacity is always about being able to describe in infinite detail everything they observe, everything that's there, everything that's WYSIWYG. And that's what makes them an interesting domain to talk about, because there is no depth with the XL. There's only volume, lots and lots of data. That's what they like, because to them, that's what's real. Why would I discuss something that's an assumption or an abstraction or somebody's opinion? Who cares about that? What's the shared reality? What's going to be there? What's the utopian aspect of this? And that's why they go for things that are solid. So it doesn't matter if you're talking about a Stephen King or a George Carlin, you know, or Bill Gates, or any of these guys that are exos. The reason why they're able to get their genius across generations, across all kinds of different gaps, is because they use things that are universal. Now, Carlin, of course, is very interested in language and how it basically manipulates people and guides their thoughts. He's gotten in trouble with it over the years because he has other signatures too. But ultimately, that's, as a comedian, there's not that many of them that can run with him with the way he looks at words. And some of his books are, you know, that along those lines, like Brain Droppings and things like that. So I put a little post up on him that he did a couple of years ago, and it talks about sort of the pseudo aspects of a lot of the environmentalist attitudes that are out there. And I wanted to play a little clip from that and see if we can get a little discussion going about this particular exogenius. Mia.
That was very funny, by the way.
Hilarious. Play a little clip of the same thing. I love this word, loading. I'm doing that most of the day. Loading, unloading.
Oh, brother.
Loading, unloading. Internet has encountered problems.
Oh, good. Do you want me to try?
I told you I should have rebooted.
Well, maybe
yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah, if you can get it, get it.
All right, hang on a second. Making my way back to the air desk.
Wow.
We'll be packed up a week from tonight. Holy cow, is that the day that I close? Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh.
And it's smack dab in the middle of Philo Week.
Ah, oh, come on. It's hump day Philo Week.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Worried about everything.
There you go.
Worried about the air, worried about the water, worried about the soil. Worried about insecticides, pesticides, food additives, carcinogens. Worried about radon gas, worried about asbestos. Worried about saving endangered species. Let me tell you about endangered species, all right? Saving endangered species is just one more arrogant attempt by humans to control nature. It's arrogant meddling. It's what got us in trouble in the first place. Doesn't anybody understand that? Interfering with nature. Over 90% of all the species that have ever lived on this planet, ever lived, are gone.
Can you guys hear that okay?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
All right.
They're extinct. We didn't kill them all. They just disappeared. That's what nature does. They disappear these days at the rate of 25 a day. And I mean regardless of our behavior. Irrespective of how we act on this planet, 25 species that were here today will be gone tomorrow. Let them go gracefully. Leave nature alone. Haven't we done enough? We're so self-important. So self-important. Everybody's going to save something now. Save the trees. Save the bees. Save the whales. Save those snails. And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet. What? Are these fucking people kidding me? Save the planet? We don't even know how to take care of ourselves yet. We haven't learned how to care for one another. We're going to save the fucking planet? I'm getting tired of that shit. I'm tired of fucking Earth Day. I'm tired of these self-righteous environmentalists, these white bourgeois liberals who think the only thing wrong with this country is there aren't enough bicycle paths. People trying to make the world safe for their Volvos. Besides, environmentalists don't give a shit about the planet. They don't care about the planet. Not in the abstract, they don't. Not in the abstract, they don't. You know what they're interested in? A clean place to live. Their own habitat. They're worried that someday in the future they might be personally inconvenienced. narrow, unenlightened self-interest doesn't impress me. Besides, there is nothing wrong with the planet. Nothing wrong with the planet. The planet is fine. The people are fucked. Different. Different. The planet is fine. Compared to the people, the planet is doing great. It's been here 4.5 billion years. Did you ever think about the arithmetic? Planet has been here 4.5 billion years. We've been here, what, 100,000? Maybe 200,000? And we've only been engaged in heavy industry for a little over 200 years. 200 years versus 4.5 billion. And we have the conceit to think that somehow we're a threat? That somehow we're going to put in jeopardy this beautiful little blue-green ball that's just floating around the sun? The planet has been through a lot worse than us. Been through all kinds of things worse than us. Been through earthquakes, volcanoes, plate tectonics, continental drift, solar flares, sunspots, magnetic storms, the magnetic reversal of the poles, hundreds of thousands of years of bombardment by comets and asteroids and meteors, worldwide floods, tidal waves, worldwide fires, erosion, cosmic rays, recurring ice ages, and we think some plastic bags and some aluminum cans are going to make a difference?
All right, man. You can stop it.
The planet.
Did you hear me?
The planet isn't going anywhere. We are. We're going away. Pack your shit, folks. We're going away. And we won't leave much of a trace either. Thank God for that. Maybe a little styrofoam. Maybe. Little styrofoam.
Why can't you hear us?
Planet will be here and we'll be long gone. Just another failed mutation. Just another closed-end biological mistake. An evolutionary cul-de-sac. The planet will shake us off like a bad case of fleas. A surface nuisance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you're there.
How the planet's doing? Ask those people at Pompeii.
This is
so position. From volcanic ash.
Hello.
It's like an old folks home where they just put the TV on and walk away.
And it's all right. Ask those people in Mexico City or Armenia or 100 other places.
Dad, come back
if
to us.
If you feel like a threat to the planet this week. How about
the line to call them on.
Build their homes right next to an active volcano.
I wanted to play like a couple of minutes.
Have lava in the living room.
I swear to God, he walked away.
The planet will be here for a long, long, long time after we're gone, and it will heal.
Well, the bit goes on for about 15 minutes, folks, so you can play on the blog. Anyone to play like 2 minutes here.
Correcting system. The air and the water will recover, the earth will be renewed, and if it's true that plastic is not degradable, well, the planet will simply incorporate plastic into a new paradigm, the earth plus plastic.
Yeah.
The earth doesn't share our prejudice towards plastic. Plastic came out of the earth. The earth probably sees plastic.
Please take some calls while George is talking.
Could be the only reason the earth allowed us to be spawned from.
Oh, this is perfect. Perfect way to end a perfect day. This is what technology fails you.
Could be the answer to our age.
We have no means to contact him. Why are we here?
Plastic.
It's not the same.
Plastic is here.
Again, the number here is 646-478-4847. If you'd like to interrupt this diatribe.
To be fair, the planet probably sees us as a mild...
You know, I put long clips on the block.
I'm sure the planet will...
You can play them while you're working and stuff, and it's kind
of
entertaining.
A large
during the show, I don't know.
...and colony can muster a defense. I'm sure the planet...
You want to play a little snippet.
What would you do...
Not the whole clip.
...with the planet trying to defend against...
Did he pass away?
Let's see. What my... Viruses might be.
Because you said, and then they bring us here.
And viruses are tricky, always mutating and forming new.
I can't, you can't make this up. This is pathetic.
Perhaps this first virus could be one that compromises the immune system.
Good.
Which is perhaps a human immunodeficiency virus, making them vulnerable to all sorts of other diseases.
Poor George, it's a good routine. I'm talking, I'm stepping all over here.
Sexually, making them a little reluctant.
I'm trying to make a point, but.
Reproduction. Well, that's a point.
I don't know. We should just listen along, or
to start. And I can dream, can I?
It's almost over, actually.
I don't know.
Trees, whales, snails. I think we're part of a greater wisdom.
Yeah, it's almost over. Listen, the big electronic part. This is the good part. Listen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
The big electron.
Here it is, here it is.
The big electron. Whoa. It doesn't punish, it doesn't reward, it doesn't judge at all. It just is. Oh. And so are we, for a little while. Thanks for being here with me for a little while.
Thank you, George.
Love that guy.
Wow. Did you hear us?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Yelling at us?
Yeah, I wanted you to stop it like 5 minutes ago. That doesn't matter.
I thought you might have been yelling at us, but I was like, if I take it away, then I'm pulling it from the show. I don't know what I'm doing here.
It's all right. Like we're professional at this.
Yeah,
oh, God, that's funny.
I'm
oh, yeah, we're
over here trying not to piddle. Oh.
Yeah, this, anyone that replays this, the first 15 minutes of the show tonight, you can really feel the edge of what we're of an eco, because Val started off completely pissed off at Cable, and then she just laughed her ass off for 5 minutes. So.
Oh, that was so funny.
I pulled it up and listened one time, and I didn't hear anything, so I put it right back.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I play a little further up, and it was like, he was gone. Oh, boy. Well, the reason why I wanted to highlight George there is because he's got a lot of other signatures bleeding through there, and he's able to
take
something.
He wanted to highlight him. He wanted to highlight him, not spotlight him.
Well, we gave him basically, almost a promotional segment there, is that the reason why George has been effective for, 35, 40 years of doing the same kind of act, pretty much, is that he's able to look at the culture from outside the culture. He doesn't have a common viewpoint. He makes fun of the philos. He makes fun of the common viewpoint. And he puts a lot of things up to the light that most people don't see because they're too busy, running around conditioned to do the things that he's making fun of. So, yeah, and we're dealing with, we just had that Live Earth concert this weekend, and they go out there, and they everything is, doom and gloom about the Earth. And I mean, how many concerts have we had to save the planet, hunger, whatever, the last 20, 30 years? And nobody's really just kind of like pointed a finger and said, this is all to promote these acts and sell albums. So it's I don't know what the collective impact of any of those things have been. I really don't. I mean, they've done the GA conference a couple of years ago. They had a thing for that. It's when the politics got involved with the music and got involved with the media that I think it's really gotten kind of weird. But the thing I'm trying to get at
Farm Aid and they have
all that stuff. Yeah, every time.
But you know what? I don't know. But
9/11 had about 5 concerts right after it was over.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my T-shirt from the 1989 San Francisco earthquake from the
Steve
band was doing. I'm still waiting for my T-shirt for my donation to that.
There you go. I mean, it's just another example of how gullible we are to just get our ego and philo on and go to some concert and have a good time and try to wish away the world. And it's like, I don't know. We sat across the kitchen table from a guy that said he could run all New York City with a Dixie cup of water. he doesn't have a concert. It's like, wait a minute. The problem is Exo Logic doesn't have a lot of maybe in it. It doesn't have a lot of gray in it. It's either executable or they're in the lab making something that is executable. So that's one of the reasons why I think it almost seems sort of, inhumane when you think about the ideas they spread, because they don't have a lot of interactive qualities. They either are functional or they're disposable. And the Exo is not attached to a bad idea. He'll just get rid of it. Where Ananta will defend it and refine it and defend it and refine it and then hand it off to an Eco who will defend it and refine it. And it's like all these lost causes are running loose. I mean, you just look at the presidential race now and think of where it's going to be in like 6 or 8 months when so many of these things are all leapfrogging each other and they don't know what the key issue is going to be yet because they're all got their finger in the wind doing all their polling and stuff instead of basically coming from a core truth that they own that they're going to share with the people that they would like to vote for them. But everybody's got to go through so many little rat trap and little mazes to get A to B. Either your funding gets you or your party doesn't like who you are in this position or that position, and it's all this big minefield. That's why I don't think the Exos run for political office much. I mean, when's the last Exo president we had? Can't even think of one. I mean, maybe Bush won.
I don't know.
Maybe Bush won, if I think about it.
I don't know.
He seems kind of Exo, but he's a mild Exo.
Yeah, he's pretty flat.
Huh?
He's pretty flat.
Yeah, I think he'd be EXO. I mean, and he was sort of a legacy Reagan guy, and, you know, Reagan was an uber philo, so it just seems like we like to have political leaders or any kind of industry leaders that are more paternal, they're more onto or philo, and less sort of, you know, it's just sort of competent. And EXOs love their competencies. They love being skilled at something and being expert at something without having to be accountable to everybody else. And that's one of the reasons why you see the guys I highlighted on the blog this week, you know, Bill Gates or Stephen King, you know, Clint Eastwood or George Carlin, they're lone wolves. They're not going to be put next to too many people in their category. They're off by themselves. And they have that iconoclastic kind of personality where no one's going to copy them. And the reason that, you know, I mentioned that is because one of the things that EXOs do in their genius is they're sort of shapeshifters, if you will. They have an ability to sort of infiltrate the mentality and the mob that they're trying to communicate to and act like one of them, and then be able to step right out of that costume, that mask, and speak to the system as a whole. And that's why they don't have to really, like, the ECOs fight a lot of emotional battles inside the tribe, and the Philos deal with all the relationship ties, and the Antos are always playing with the King of the Hill, you know, trying to battle for supremacy that way. With the EXO, they skate on a different lane that doesn't have a lot of interference because they're not caught up in all the interactive stuff. They're only interested in getting from A to B, and they really don't have sightseeing tours. They don't have a scenic route. They just go. And it's a rhythm that they get into early on. And the more coherent ones are better at it, over a bigger scale. But even the most kind of dumb-witted EXO out there in us, even in secondary domains, we have an ability to organize things without having to tell anyone how it's organized. It just gets done. You know, I mean, we're in here unpacking in the office and stuff, and there's just a certain point where things get unpacked and put away, and they're done. It happens on a small scale in everyone's day. It's just that we don't really own that EXO genius because it's outside us. It's structural. It's territorial. It's got that sort of impersonal nature to it, and there's a system to it. There's a method to it. There's sort of a second nature to it, and that's why, you know, I wanted to ask you guys, like, what as a philo, what do you do that's second nature? That has sort of an outside in feel to you that you do every day as a task or as a routine that you either take for granted or you don't really know how or why you do it. It just happens to get done.
You mean besides basic hygiene, like brushing my teeth?
Yeah, basic hygiene doesn't count. No. I don't have a lot, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's a couple things. Probably just picking up the house, something that I didn't really get. You know, I used to wonder, the house was so clean as a kid, and I realized that my mom was picking up all the time. You know, like my image of my mother is always bent over picking something up off of the floor, and it's just kind of walking through. Like as I'm talking, as we're doing the show, I'm usually just walking through the house picking stuff up off the floor that right now Nora can't pick up off the floor because she's got two children ready to come out of her. And
oh boy!
So
well, when's the drop date on that, by the way?
Probably middle of August.
Oh, middle of August. Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it's big. It's big.
We should have a poll.
But yeah, it's that. I think it's those are. Yeah, probably for me, it's just cleaning. You know, kind of just being organized in a way that's not. It almost feels counterintuitive to me. It's like I know I need to do this, or I do it, but I don't really feel like I ever do it like my EXO neighbor who, you know. Who after the snowstorm, his whole driveway is cleared, and it almost looks like it's you know, like he's got pipes. I think he's got like hot pipes running under his driveway or something. Everything's cut neat and cornered, and his lawn is mowed.
Wow.
And every leaf is picked up. I mean, he's
is
that
he
sort
EXO?
Of. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was gonna say. Yeah, because
I'm saying, unlike him, my EXO-ness when I do those things is more like. I need to maybe be more like him because his yard looks really good. So, I get into a habit of doing it. But I don't think I do many things just by routine, other than hygiene, that are EXO. Except when I get upset, if I get upset, if Nora and I are having an upset, or if I'm upset or anxious, then I do clean. I clean and scrub and vacuum and do all kinds of stuff. Cause
well, it's a left brain activity to clean. I mean, I always tell people, it's like, you know, it's sort of that expression, you know, when you're scared to go to church, it's like, you know, when you're nervous, organize, because that puts you in left brain. And it's good. It's a good use of nervous energy. But, you know, it's not a shock that as a philo, the one thing that you internalize as a system is to domesticate yourself and to sort of, you know, sort of feather the nest. You would never catch me cleaning, you know, as a nervous activity. I mean, ecos. I mean,
shocking that it's all of us who know you.
Yes, I mean, come on. If anything, I'm more of a mess.
Yeah, but eco.
You clean when you're nervous.
Yeah. I have to do something. I have to do something, you know, active that takes my mind off it.
Yeah, I'm usually active too. I'm actively making more of a mess usually. But as an eco, the one thing that you know, for me anyway, that is part of that exogenous category for me is that I can recreate a to-do list on almost any piece of paper anywhere and know what it means. So it's like everything becomes my extended mind map, you know. And so and I could be multitasking in, like I'm doing right now, trying to find a phone that works. I'm going to go over here. Let's see if this one will work.
One on my couch works.
Does this one work? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Wait, did you hear me on this thing?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I don't hear you.
Where are you?
I don't hear anything.
You at your office?
Nothing. No. My phone's not working at all. I don't know why.
Which one is that?
The one in my room.
Well, go in my office.
I'll go on the landline. I'm kind of bound to the lounge here, but that's okay.
Well, that's not.
Where are you? Are you at home, Mark?
I'm at the office.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. A little better?
Worse. Better.
That's better. Yeah, this is an interesting way to do the show now. I have no idea what's going on in the computer, and I'm kind of watching the rain come down.
I have my eyes on it here.
All right. Well, if we get any calls, let me know.
We have somebody. We have an exo.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is Emery?
I believe so.
Because it is an exo on the couch waking up.
Yeah, no, not that one. Hold on a second. Let's see. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, boy. It's an exo.
Oh, I've been able to hear you for the last 5 minutes, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's how it works.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Blog
talk, huh? Blog. It should be Block Talk Radio. You see something to skew. On the phone with us now, this is Amory Rosa from a palatial exo estate in Danbury. We were discussing sort of nervous habits of the different domains. And,
ask her what she does when she's nervous.
Yeah, but how do you get nervous energy and you got maybe 15 minutes to kind of dissipate it? What do you do?
Vacuum.
See?
Ah!
I have to be busy. With nervous energy, I have to get it out, and the best way I can get it out is through physical exercise, and since I don't exercise, cleaning is my thing. I need it neat and orderly, and it gives me a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment. And then everything is, all my ducks are in order then. So if things around me are organized, then I feel more organized internally.
So all three of you guys clean stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were just talking about, Jeb picks up around the house and does things like that and just feels like he's doing something useful. And Val starts to clean, too. I tend to make another list.
Make a list. I find that visual clutter, whether it's my own house or somewhere else, is disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think clearly if things are out of the way.
Well, I don't like
that
either.
I'll throw something away. I'll throw things away. That's always fun.
I love throwing things away.
Yeah, I threw away like two dumpsters full the last 2 weeks. It did feel good once it was gone.
Oh, I love it. I even love getting rid of emails. Just delete, delete, delete.
Oh, man. Not me. My emails are tucked away. They're all over my computer.
Nope.
Yeah. I think everything I've ever... My computer's like a brain bladder. Every thought I ever had is digitized and put in some file.
Yeah, you're right.
That's another thing.
When you look at an Exos computer, it is so organized, it makes me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their emails categorized, or their favorites, everything is so damn organized. I name my files for whatever mood I'm in sometimes, you know, and it's like angry at blank. It's like that becomes a directory. You know, it's like this. So it's one of the things about this particular signature of an Exo, which is the ability to sort of use a metaposition to kind of, who am I talking to, and then they go into that mode. They're able to exploit a lot of the other domains because they're not attached to their signatures the way the other domains are. A philo is attached to the relationships they're in. An onto is attached to the beliefs they have. An eco is attached to the emotions they experience. Exos aren't attached to data. If data changes, they go, okay, well, that's what it is now. So they're much more kind of flexible, even though they have this rigid structure the way they organize and do things, but they're much more flexible internally because they're not spending a lot of time internally. They really aren't. So they're sort of in this clock tower, you know, 360 degrees, observing the world with the all-seeing, all-knowing eye, and they actually can kind of distill insight without having to really put any effort out, because they could see things that usually get filtered or deleted or distorted by the other domains, because the other domains are busy, you know, kind of reinforcing whatever it is that they had. I'm in a mood, now I'm going to find things to reinforce it. Or I have a belief, I'm going to find things to reinforce it. Or I'm in a relationship, I'm going to find things to reinforce it. Exos don't have to do that.
You say that as long as it's the raw data that changes, they're fine, but they don't like... They like
change.
It's purely objective data, because, like, if it's like, okay, it wasn't raining, now it's raining, they're okay with that. But if you said, we're going to go see Harry Potter tonight, and then they get in the car and you go, now we're going bowling. They can't handle that, because
that.
Now they're death.
No, you that's death. The thing is, it's like the structure doesn't change, the shell doesn't change, but what happens inside the structure is fine, because they feel that at least more than half of what's happening is predictable, because the context is pretty well set, where ecos don't have that boundary. Things can go from, like you saw with Val, she went from being upset at Cable to laughing her butt off with you in 5 minutes. She wasn't fixed on the emotion. So
yeah.
There's flexibility within an eco's domain on their emotions. They can be mad 1 minute, happy 1 minute, sad the next. They're all over the map.
Oh, yeah.
Where philos are much more interested in, okay, you're my friend, and then you're my enemy, and then you're my friend. You know, so they their boundaries with relationships are more functional, because they go through those types of frames much more kind of deliberately. And then ontos have the least amount of flexibility within their because they're stuck on beliefs. So it's like it says something about them, which of course that's their favorite topic, and that's why when someone threatens one of their core beliefs, they'll either react with aggression and you know, you have desecrated the genie of a lamp kind of thing, open up a can of whip ass kind of thing, or they will pretend you don't exist, that you're not there, you don't count, and you don't get to have a conversation with them. They go into that unilateral dialogue where they just basically don't give you any chance to speak because you're not worthy to listen to anymore.
So is this why ontos, if you work with ontos in an environment that changes a lot where you need flexibility, that they have difficulty with that because they're not able to make changes?
They can't handle it. It's a total threat to them.
Oh.
See, an onto, their authority is only as good as their belief in what they're authorizing is valuable to them. So it's like it's not enough to make them the boss of something. If they don't care about it, then they just use that position as a bully pulpit. But if it's core to them and it's central to them and it kind of reinforces their own identity, yeah, that's a pit bull. You know what? They can't handle changes there at all. See, that it's kind of like the yin and the yang here between an onto and an exo, is that the onto is internally oriented and externally reinforced, and the other one, the exo, is the opposite of that. They're rooted in the outside world, and they reinforce it internally because they have the data. And they will spit out a fact that is, you know, everybody else is like, what? What'd you find out? A bubblegum wrapper? But they will have their evidence stacked and filed in their heads, and click on files like you click on them in a computer. Then you say, and they'll remember things about an experience that most people will just let drop to the floor. They won't internalize. And the exo will remember things, subtle stuff, you know, you look at police reports. I can always tell, you know, when an exo is giving a memory and when a file is giving a story. Because the file will talk about their reactions and all the emotions going on and all the things that are not central to the event. And the exo's thinking about like three lines. Like, I guarantee if you look at what Rick said about his car accident that day, mm-hmm. you know, in the police report, it's like I got in the car, got out of the car, the car went backwards, hit my car. And it's not going to be a lot of stories about this moron got out of it. It's not going to be like, you know, it doesn't have the same sort of variability. They're so structured in the way they communicate to themselves that when they communicate to us, it comes out almost like Tonto-ish, you know, like Tonto talk, not a lot of detail.
Yeah, I should have a different, it's like in the office, I should have different paperwork for exos, ontos, phylos, and ecos, you know.
Well, I mean, once you get to the point where you know the domains, you kind of know what they're gonna emphasize. I mean, taking a history from a phylo is horrible because it,
well, that's
all.
Well, when the phylo walks in the door, you just give them the notebook and say, you know, you're getting ready for the novel and all the, you know, all the trauma, and then the onto, you know, you get listened to hear all the dramatic details of their own personal experience. And why it wasn't their fault and why it was the other person's fault.
Mm-hmm.
The eco, you never know what you're going to get. And
eco might fall asleep in the middle of telling their own story.
Well, they're going to be late, first of all. They're going to come in when the waiting room is full because they're an hour and a half late for their appointment.
Right, and they have to go to the bathroom, and then they have to go to the bathroom. Right,
yeah.
Then they'll have to show you like something that happened to them that day, like on their foot or something. And
yeah.
And then they'll really, really, really want to talk to you later about something else. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'll come back, and when you got somebody on the table, they'll come back in the room. Oh, excuse me. And you'll think they forgot something, but then they'll stand right there over the person and tell you a story.
Right, then when you finally have time to talk to them, they're asleep in the waiting room. I understand.
I was telling somebody today, they were talking about their friend who was always dramatic and had no boundaries, and I go, yeah, like in the cartoons when a cat and a dog are fighting and all of a sudden it's like this, it's just this blur of lines, and then you see an occasional claw, an occasional head, an occasional foot, and it's all coming out. And I said, I have a couple egos, like, they walk through the door in my office, and that's what comes through the door. Like, that's the imagery that comes in the door. It's like, just, it's like a Tasmanian devil, you know, and they come through, and they got their, this one lady, she brings her dog in, and the dog's running through the house, you know, it's just, it's classic, but
there's
anyway,
really
back
not,
to Exos.
There's not that much of a difference between a just a functional, coherent eco and a completely loco, you know, low coherence exo. I mean, I same thing today. I had a client that's an exo who went to the old office today, got lost.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the directions over here. He went the wrong way. He got upset. He came in the building. I saw him downstairs. I could reach over the railing and see him. I said, "Run, you know, go to the first floor." He went to the second floor instead. And by the time he got in the room, he was so disoriented. He goes. All he said to me was, "Dude, you changed too many things on me." It was like I overwhelmed the poor sucker. It was like his little ones and zeros were all colliding. And he was sweating like a pig. I go, why are you so, you know? Because I ran the wrong way. I ran two blocks out of my way because I went the wrong way. I said, it's like watching one of those old, football games with the, you know, they put the little button on, they vibrate around, and the guy just goes off in one direction.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they can't think on the fly. It's like they have that sort of flaps down thing. So while we have our exo here, which of the three domains, when they're in their, let's just say, in their drama, do you find the most irritating as an exo?
Other than exo.
Yeah, because exos, when they're low, they really just kind of just, you know, drop.
I find ontos to be the one.
Ontos are hard on you?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they square off the most. I think because they, like we were talking about before, they operate from their belief system. So even when their belief system is wrong, they'll defend it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no altering that belief, where with an exo, if you present compelling information, they'll drop whatever they were holding before and say, okay. So it's like you're not arguing about the same thing. They're arguing about something they feel is right in all environments, and the exo is saying, well, okay, this was correct up to this point, then I got this piece of information, now this is correct, and they'll slide left or right of wherever they started. They won't move so much front or back, but they will slide left or right depending on how the information is presented to them, but in terms of, you know, the way their brain looks at it.
Well, the onto isn't interested in the information. They're just interested in being right.
Yeah. And it's the equation of, do you want to be right or happy? They'd rather be right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're very rarely happy. They're rarely content with things because they have to control everything. So that's a low coherence pattern for ontos, and we all do it. to some degree and extent. It's just that the Antos that are among us, especially when they're on the same level as you at work or something like that, or the same level as you in a family, like a sibling or a sister-in-law, it's almost impossible.
Or a wife.
Or a wife. Yeah, God, please. Yeah, and the thing is that admitting you're wrong to them is not the end of the argument. You know, it's not like, okay, honey, you're right. You know, you think that's enough. No, no.
Oh, no, it goes on forever.
No, now you need the referee to break you up, because it's like they're going to keep hammering on the ropes, because mm-hmm. it's not just about that point that you've acquiesced. It's about their entire belief system. So everything that's related to that belief comes pouring out of them. And then other things. That's it. And then other thing. And so you get all out of that. Where an exo, when they're proven to be correct, they stop right there. They're done. It's like they go on to the next frame. So they don't have this mentality of having to kind of be sort of imperialistic about their righteousness. They're pretty much content that is correct. And they go on. It's like a game show.
Do you understand me?
Yes. They got it. Remember that thing we played about a couple months ago? The guy screaming and yelling? And he goes, do you understand me? It was like... All they just want is that copy. They want that 10-4, and they're out. And I just feel like that they have a kind of out of the four domains, they have the one unique genius of being able to look like the other domains, but also be able to be objective about it, where the other ones aren't. The other ones are attached, and the exos are just they have an ability to just slide right out of that thing. So if you take a coherent exo and you put good support in the other domains, they have a better chance of going around that somatic circle around and around and around without hitting a lot of glitches, because they don't have a lot of flies on them, where the eco's got to shed all the emotions and the anto's got to shed all the beliefs and the poor philo has to shed all their relationships, which is impossible. You know, so that's why I just feel like in dealing with exos and knowing them and knowing different types and that have different secondary domains, the one constant is, out of all of them, is that they have this capacity to communicate their ideas in the other person's map without feeling like they're stretching, except, of course, when it comes to the local here in Tanta who wants to talk to them, not the source.
No.
You know.
No.
But, so thanks, Anne-Marie, for joining us. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention while you had the mic here?
Well, this XO is going to go downstairs now and clean up the kitchen because it's messy. And I need to get that over with. But the one thing I did want to mention was that when the little bit that I know about the domains, which is very limited at this point, when I apply it, and when I apply it successfully, in particular at work, it unfolds like a dream.
Well, thanks.
Can you give an example, Anne-Marie?
Yeah.
Well, there's someone that
because
I work
with. A lot of times I struggle explaining to people how it can be functional to them when I'm explaining it in my office. They get it from the first person, but then when it gets down to, like, brass tacks in a sort of an exo fashion, I'm all about it being fun and exciting and really cool. And then if I'm talking to an exo, they're looking at me like, yeah, and how does that, what does it do for me in my life? So I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, there's someone that I work with that's Anto. And I used to butt heads with this particular person all of the time because I was very put off by her way of looking at things according to what was in it for her, and it's all about her. And then when I learned about the Antoism traits and recognized that that's where she was coming from, instead of fighting it, I give her her little moments of being about her, and I get a lot more productivity out of her. It makes me calmer because I let go of the personality trait, if I could describe it as a personality trait. I understand where it's coming from, so I don't personalize it, and I'm not as irritated by it as I used to be. And then I give her things to do at work where she can have it be about her, and she loves it.
Nice.
So it's made my life easier.
Yeah, and like I said, that's a perfect example of being able to let the other person's map, you know, kind of be incorporated into the way you communicate to them and not trying to be one-sided in the way you try to get across to them, like, oh, how does an eco deal with a philo? Well, you have to let the philo come across to the eco, too. It's a two-way street, and that exos are good at that because they're not attached to their side of the street as the other one is. Everyone else, the agenda is so overt, you know, and your job, like you said, you just want things to be functional. You don't really want to deal with the personality stuff, so You let it play through.
Mm-hmm.
So. But isn't it really, and the one thing that I'm just hearing that I want to say is that it's not personality, just sort of so the listeners, if they're anybody mm-hmm. listening, they don't get that. And it is for you, Anne-Marie, that it's not personality, that it's biological patterns of these four domains, that the personality is built on the foundation of that biological patterns. That's why you can have so many different exos. They have those basic foundations, but then each house looks different. It's just built on the same foundation. Yes, Mark?
Yeah. Speaking of a foundation,
mm-hmm.
should we play the tirade?
Yes. Thanks, Anne-Marie, for joining us. If
all
you're
right,
still
have
there,
a good night. Bye. All right,
thanks for joining. We're going to play something
thanks,
now. You might want to listen to. With thanks
yeah,
for joining
you
us.
You might want
to
hang on there. Okay, you want to introduce what this is?
Yeah, this is an exo that we all know. His name's George, and he left a voicemail a couple years ago. The night before we were making a presentation at a scientific conference, and he wasn't having a good time with the program. And this is what I got to hear.
All right, now, as you're listening to this, it was taped off of something else, so it's not very clear. So when you can't hear, yeah, don't get hooked on the words, but just listen to the emotion in it. All right, here we go.
This is an exo losing his S.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
Hey, Mark. I'm fucked. I'm fucked. I'm completely fucked. Hello, robot. Allow me to say anything again on my gigabytes of drive. It says empty. I'm fucked. I tried to cut the pole in half. It says empty. I'm fucked. I'm fucked. This thing is fucking me. I'm tired of being fucked. It's Harvard graphics from now on. I will never touch this piece of shit again. It is done as before. I am tired of this. It's fucking unstable. I can't handle this piece of shit anymore. I don't know what to do. I am fucked. I'm fucked for more than you could possibly smell. It's fucking funny. And make all the goddamn things that all goddamn day. Because I can't see because they're on a goddamn fucking dick. Anyway, I have no idea if we even have a talk tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you, George.
Oh, my God, I never listened to that before.
That is just classic. If you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. That is an XO whose computer is not cooperating. He just completely lost his mind there. He had like 90-something slides he was trying to cram into one program. It was funny as hell.
Well, you better get to your SomaScope.
Yeah, it's SomaScope time.
We've got 7 minutes.
7 whole minutes. All right, well, this is an easy week to make a transition from that, from George there. Holy crap. Really, what this week is about, because we're moving, we're now getting to the point now, we've done one lunar cycle, and we're in the fifth interface this week as we go through the exo week. So which is, it's really, like I said last week, it's kind of one of those paradoxes, because the fifth interface is all about relating and being able to go beyond the body, have that non-local connection to people. And now we're going into the sixth interface, where we get completely environmental and we go into expressing ourselves and being spontaneous with the world. And we're timing that with the Philo coming back. So on the one hand, we get a big hit of vulnerability. We go back into interpersonal. We go back into our relationship stuff and all the baggage that brings. But we get a big upswing of spontaneity. So you combine the two, vulnerability and spontaneity. It's like that experiment they did in Texas a couple of days ago, where they put all those people in the square and they had the Coca-Cola and the Mentos, and all foamed up went in the air. You know, this is like the soda that gets into the picnic cooler that's been shaken up a little bit. You don't know it. You open it up and psh. So it's surprise, surprise, surprise kind of a week. So next week is going to be one giant boo. On every domain, it's going to be the visceral meter is going to be on 10. So it's going to be spontaneous, but spontaneous to the point where you feel vulnerable. It's lions and tigers and bears, oh my. So the Philos will gather into a giant herd, a big ball of goo, and they will all be on the phone dramatizing to each other what just happened, what just scared them. A lot of car accidents, a lot of people just rubbernecking, just a lot of that group stuff. The Ontos are going to be swatting people left and right. It's going to look like the Crusades. in terms of the domains next week. So everything that Amory was just expressing about Anthos, it's not the week after is when the Anthos come up, so just prepare because we go back into security. So they're going to be cracking the whip next week because the week after they're going to get the whip. They'll be running the roost. So the Anthos are going to be completely intolerant of this, and so they're going to have a week of just constant annoyance and have to beat down a lot of things around them. The Philos are going to be herding together and you know, wringing their hands. The poor Eco is going to be beat like a redheaded stepchild, I'm sorry to say, because freedom is what they want, but not next week. They're going to get a lot of liberty or death. So what the Eco's mindset going into the next week is mostly about when they're interacting with Philos and or Anthos, is don't believe the hype, don't expand the fear. It's already in the air. Don't make it worse. So for the Eco, it's almost like, hold your tongue. Don't say what has to be said again. Listen more than speak. I know it's difficult for the egos out there who are ignoring me right now, but the thing is that when the newspaper hits you in the snoot enough, you know, you'll know not to put yourself there. And the exos, who are basically aware and above all of this, will have an interesting week because they're going to get a lot more freedom than they're used to because the other three domains are all going to be fighting it out. And the exos aren't going to be able to sense any of this, so it's almost like the person with the head cold that can't taste the soup. You know, everyone thinks the soup is bad, but the exo eats it because he can't taste it. So the exos are going to kind of feel a little tone deaf next week, a little out of sync with everybody else. Why is everyone so upset? Why is everyone so scared? Why is everyone so freaked out? They'll be the calm person in the storm, the calm person in the crisis, but they'll be completely bewildered by it. So it's not like they're going to be cool and calm. And organized about it, they're going to be sort of numb to what's going on. So look for the exos to be sort of part of the furniture next week and thrive in that. But the other three domains, it's just basically just hang on. Because once we get through this, we'll be through the 6 weeks of the interfaces and it'll start again and we'll go back to basics the week after. But the next week is going to be absolutely just, you know, blood on the tracks, as Dylan would say.
That has to be the week I'm moving, right? Thanks.
Of course. You're an Eco. Of course.
Come on.
Later, when you get this stuff down, you can actually plan things around the calendar a little bit to just, you know, increase your odds. But that's what's blowing in the wind this week from the Somascope. So why don't we throw it to Jeb for his tip du jour of everything we talked about tonight with Exogenius and his cleaning habits. Take it away, Jeb.
The tip of the week is, and I don't know if it's related so much to the Exogenius as much as taking a moment out of your domain, out of your primary domain this week, and stepping into any one of the other. But maybe we should say do it in the Exo domain, and that is just do something. And this is going to sound really super queer and Philo, but a random act of kindness. And I don't mean it in sort of the sappy soapy way of it, but something like I did this the other night, and it was kind of cool as I was driving through the drive-thru, getting some food, and I heard that the guy behind me, I heard him order, and they were like, okay, it's going to be, you know, $7. And so I just threw up an extra $7. I said, pay for the guy behind me or whoever it was. I couldn't see who it was. So it's sort of this thing, and it was funny because I was kind of nervous doing it. I'm like, I don't know that guy. I'm just doing it because I just had this whim. I think I should do it. But then I thought about it. What if you stepped out of your primary domain and then you did something like that, that's just sort of this random thing but spontaneous, because that's what the week we're coming into is going to be, this week of spontaneity,
mm-hmm.
but doing it from the exo domain. And I don't even know if you can do that. I mean, I don't know if that's somatically corrupt,
no.
but I think doing that,
active witnessing.
Okay. So perfect. Yeah. It's you're purposely stepping out of your primary into this exo domain, and then just doing something that's randomly a good thing. Could be paying for something like that. It could be anything that's good. You know, just I don't know. So that's my tip of the week is do that and be sort of just unattached to that action and see what it brings you.
That's it. That's the key word, of being unattached like the exos. Boy, are they good at that. All right, we'll toss it to Val for the quote du jour.
Okay. I have known no man of genius who has not to pay in some affliction or defect, either physical or spiritual, for what the gods have given him. That's Max Beerbohm, 1911.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Max.
There you go.
Exo-fied. Yeah, man, that's...
Right on,
wow.
Baby. All right, we're out of here.
All right, we have circled
Hello,
the wagons,
everybody.
And eight has become nine, and we will see you again next week. Travel light through the darkness.